On AM yesterday, you might have heard about the recommendation to ban repeats of some common antibiotic medicines because of concerns about misuse and the spread of superbugs. This morning, we're hearing from Professor Brendan Murphy about why. He's Australia's Chief Medical Officer and Principal Medical Advisor to the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt. Professor Murphy, thanks for joining AM. How serious is the problem of antibiotic resistance and how soon could the ban on repeat prescriptions be introduced?
So antimicrobial resistance is a serious problem around the world and also in Australia, and we do face the risk of increasingly unavailable antibiotics in the future, such that we might even see infections that are impossible to treat. This potential ban on repeat prescriptions is part of our strategy to deal with this problem, and it's directly addressing the overuse of antibiotics where they're being used, where they're not necessary. And so the proposed changes is to stop a routine repeat being provided on common antibiotics so that people only use repeat prescriptions when their GP specifically wants them to have them.
And that ban, could that just be weeks or months away?
It could be. The Minister has to make a decision on the recommendation of the PBAC, but the Minister's indicated he's supportive of these changes.
A report earlier this year to the government warned that there will come a time when routine surgery in Australia becomes much higher risk and that things like urinary tract infections become much more difficult to treat. How far off is that scenario in Australia?
Well, we are already seeing instances where we've had intensive care units, operating theatres and some wards that have had to have significant interruptions to their procedures due to outbreaks or detection of resistant organisms. We get on top of these things pretty quickly in Australia, but there have been instances overseas where, for example, a whole transplant program has been stopped for months because of the presence of resistant organisms. So these threats are real and potentially on our doorstep.
What about the race to find new antibiotics? Is enough attention and money being spent on that?
Yes, I think one of the challenges is that there is not a pharmaceutical company incentive, really, because antibiotics aren't things that are used for a long time. They're used for a short course, and pharma don't find it commercially attractive to invest in this space. So governments increasingly, and philanthropy is now putting a lot of effort into this space. The World Health Organization is doing that, and the Australian government is doing that. So we're doing a lot of work in that space to try and repurpose old antibiotics and put some effort into developing new ones. But we still have to look after the ones we have as the highest priority.
I wonder if I could ask you about the sharp jump in measles cases being reported in Perth, and there have been some on the Gold Coast too. How much of a concern is it to you that there's this re-emergence of a disease that we once thought was conquered?
Well, I think it's a serious concern. It's obviously a bigger concern in some other countries in the world, like New Zealand, where there's been, you know, over 1,000 cases, and it is a very clear, I see it as a canary in the coal mine, showing what happens if our vaccination rates aren't kept up. Measles is a hugely contagious disease. If you're not immune, you will get it if you come into contact with someone. And it's quite a nasty disease. 1 in 1,000 children who get it will die. And, you know, another 1 in 200 will get serious long-term complications. It's a nasty disease. And it's simply related to poor immunity in a small proportion of the people. Our immunity in the community is quite high. So we don't have what we call endemic transmission of measles occurring from person to person for a long period of time. But what we're seeing is people, some small number of people with reduced immunity, generally who've gone overseas to a high prevalence country and brought measles back and spread it to a small number of people in their local community who have poor immunisation. So the message is that everyone must be fully immunised and everybody needs to have had two doses of the MMR vaccine, unless they were born before 1966, when you've almost certainly had measles itself. And we know that there are some people, particularly people born between 1966 and the early 90s, who only had one dose. And everybody who's travelling, we recommend that they strongly have another dose if they're not absolutely confident that they've had two doses.
All right. Who's to blame for the resurgence? Is the anti-vax movement, should it shoulder some of the blame here?
I think it should, because the anti-vaxxer movement has been peddling blatant lies about the measles vaccine. Particularly, there was some fraudulent research some years ago suggesting that it was related to autism. It was completely debunked. But that's been one of the messages that some in the anti-vaccine movement have been putting out there, and that's led to some vaccine hesitancy in some parents. And we do know that a significant number of the measles cases in Australia have actually been people under 20 who have just not had their full vaccinations.
There's been a big jump in lung disease, thought mostly due to the cutting of artificial stone. When we last spoke, a task force had been just set up and you were on it. Do you have a better idea now of how many cases there are around Australia?
We still don't absolutely know, but we do know that it's some hundreds. It's over 250 cases that we're seeing, which is an absolute tragedy. Some of the states haven't completed fully screening every worker who might be exposed, but one of the task force tasks is to make sure that every person who's been involved in this industry is comprehensively screened to make sure that those with early disease are detected.
Yeah, some workers want artificial stone banned. How likely is that?
At the moment, that's something that's certainly a potential consideration. There's no doubt that this material can be safe if it's handled safely, and the industry is doing a lot of work in self-regulation, making sure they don't even supply it to people who don't have a safe environment. But that's something that government could consider in the future. But at the moment, the highest priority is to make sure that every workplace where it is used is made completely safe with the right protective equipment, and to make sure that we screen every worker who's been involved in this industry to make sure that we detect every case, even those early detectable cases.
Professor Murphy, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Pleasure.
That's Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Brendan Murphy.